The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit the phone lines, limits. Got a lot of Steeler calls. We've been comparing the sort of modes of operation of the Eagles and the Steelers. One, at least in recent years, moving on from coaches rather rapidly, yet still having massive success. The other, sort of the historic model of stability and patience for better, mostly better, but sometimes worse. Over the course of their history, that's the Steelers. Which is the better model? Which is the one you prefer? Is Steeler stability a point of pride for you as a Steeler fan? 928-9370. Of course, we're talking about the Pickens situation. Cabali saying he's going to miss a couple more games, which to me means a couple more. Is he saying games or weeks? Because if it's a couple more weeks, then it's three games.
Yeah, he said weeks.
Well, there you go.
So we might need a clarification from him tomorrow on that.
And is Mike Tomlin right when he scolds the media, and I would say by extension fans, because you all believe the same thing, at least most of you have most of the year, that the Steelers are inadequately staffed behind George Pickens at the receiver position. Tomlin seems to think that they're fine. 928-9370. Derek Shelton with an eye-popping quote at the winter meetings. We're going to talk about that later in the hour before we get to the Tomlin news conference. The phone lines, please, limits.
All right, Dr. Cornelius, here is Brian in Atlanta.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. What's up?
You talk about the Steeler model. I think they were too patient with the ex-GM, Kevin Colbert?
Mm-hmm.
He spent like 24 years there, and he didn't really want to change his ways and with free agency and all these things. And all along, Omar was the cap guru, and so you could just see the way they moved. He retired, and I think that's where all the difference is coming from.
Well, maybe lately, although it's kind of hard to argue with Kevin Colbert's track record, isn't it?
I don't know. He had a lot of bad picks there at the end, including, Kenny Pickett, I think, Tomlin wanted him too. But obviously Tomlin wasn't opposed to this new way of doing things, which is what all the other teams were doing. So I don't know. I just think that and then they brought in the guy from Philly because they don't want it to just be one voice in the room.
I think that was a good move.
Doing well with that.
Yeah, I agree. These last two drafts, and you're right, and I mentioned it, late in the Colbert tenure, some of those drafts, not great. On the other hand, when you bring in T.J. Watt as the 30th pick of the first round, that's an all-time pick. An all-time pick. But yeah, some of them were disastrous, would be a kind word. I was talking about Kevin's overall track record, but yes, I think it was time. I think Kevin probably knew it was time. And, he obviously did. And these past two drafts, man, just look at it. I mean, I don't know what happened to Roman Wilson. I still don't know. When the Batconian mongoose comes in, I mean, I do. He's on injured reserve, and he obviously didn't wow Tomlin early on, to put it mildly. forget about him. Zach Frazier already looks like a top five player at his position. Peyton Wilson's getting better and better. McCormick is already a respected or respectful starter as guard. A good pick, as I mangle the word respectful and respected. He looks perfectly normal as a starting guard. He looks like he's a decent player. Then you have Broderick Jones, seems to be getting better, still very young. Joey Porter Jr., up and down for sure, but looks like a good pick to me. Keanu Benton looks like a really good pick. Mount Washington's a contributor. Nick Herbig was a great pick. I mean, these were two. Fatanu's hurt. He might be the best player out of both drafts still. We don't know that yet. So these look like two wildly successful drafts. Anywho, next.
Well, let's go to Rick in Rochester.
Hello, Rick.
Morning, Joe. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Well, you know, talking about the different models, I got to say that the Steeler model is a genuine source of pride. I've got friends that own businesses in several other cities, like in Carolina, in D.C., in Chicago. We all played football together in high school. They all played college ball. And, you know, they want to entertain clients in those cities. And they just have a hard time having any pride in the teams that they have there. Yet, you know, every time the Steelers come to town, they travel so well together, you think it's a home game for Pittsburgh. So I think that the integrity in the ownership is what lends itself to the stability in the coaching model as well. And then there was another point I wanted to make. I tried to get on yesterday when you guys were talking about several subjects.
Limits kept you off the air? Did he never go to your call?
No, you guys never really took calls yesterday. You and Bob were pretty full.
That's because Bob is selfish. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we'll get ready to play Philly, and Philly with their push-tush. Have you guys noticed? I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but any other team, when they get in that situation, there never seems to be an immediate whistle. Yet every time Jaylen Warren or Najee is in one of those situations where the line is trying to move them forward, it's the fastest whistle I've ever heard in my life, and we don't end up getting any of those extra yards.
I don't know that I agree with that. Limits, where do you stand on that?
Yeah,
thank you for the call.
I don't really agree with that either. I feel like they give them the benefit of the doubt with the pushing just a little bit. I don't really see where he's coming from there.
What play am I thinking of a couple games ago? What was the controversy at the goal line? Was it that they blew? It was a fumble. It was a fumble at the goal line by Warren is what it was. And Sterator said they could have or should have blown the whistle.
Yeah, so
if anything,
progress.
Yeah, they let it. No, I don't agree with you. I think that they let these guys go for the most part.
There are some instances where the pile continues to move forward, and should they have called it, should they not, but it's kind of a judgment call that could go either way.
Here's the play I hate is a receiver coming back for the ball, and he gets credit for those yards. It's seemingly, even if he tries to circle back and make new yards, you know what I mean?
Limits? Like Deontay.
That bugs me. If you want to make the effort to try to get out of the tackle, go backwards, and then try to circle around and make yards, the ball should be down where you're tackled eventually. You don't get credit for forward progress on that. That ticks me off.
I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like if you make the catch and you're at like the first down marker and a defender is just running in, makes the tackle, and continues to push you backwards, 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 and your momentum is not taking you at all up the field, then you should get credit for where you caught the ball.
If you don't continue to make an effort to get up the field, yeah.
But I think we've seen a lot of instances where Najee Harris has been wrapped up and then continues to move backwards and then tries to move forward, and wherever he ends up landing is where they down the ball.
And that's as it should be. I would say that happens more on pass plays than run plays. Next.
Here is Dave in the car.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Joe. How are you this morning?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. So I was curious, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but what do you think Coach Tomlin is supposed to say about his receiving core behind George Pickens, other than what he's currently saying?
Oh, when he calls people out and says, I've been telling you guys this, maybe you'll start to believe me? You don't think that's a little over the top? You think that's the right time to say that? I would say, hey, listen, these guys are getting the job done right now. We got three games coming up. They better keep getting it done because the challenge will get steeper. Not I told you so. Way too early on any level for anybody on the Steelers to be delivering I told you so's. You want to do that three games from now or after a playoff win for the first time since Mulsey had hair? You can do that. Little too early for I told you so's. That's what I would say.
Wouldn't you say his message is more directed to his team than to you folks or to me?
I don't know. He says he doesn't use us to direct messages. Does he need the media?
He knows his guys are listening to his press conference. He knows that. So obviously he's going to be as positive.
I thought that he was a master motivator within the room. Why would he need the media to sell a message?
He's not using the media. He's using his voice during the press conference, not you guys. His voice for his team that's going to be listening to it. Come on, Joe.
So that'll make Scotty Miller play really good? Come on. What are you talking about?
Maybe it will.
It will? Okay.
Get your head out of your ass, Joe. Coach softball. Coach girls softball, Joe.
Yeah, win a playoff game.
This guy starts out saying
he's not going to be aggressive, but you know he is. And then
he hangs up.
Then you hang up because you're a coward. That's why you ask me if I disagree. I tell you how I disagree, and then you get to the way you really feel because you don't have guts enough to say it early in the call. That's why. Am I back on the air yet?
Yeah. Well, the button has been pressed, so you're good.
So now I'm on?
Yeah.
We had to dump him because he swore at the end.
That's correct. That's why I had him pot it down because I was worried about
Dave
that.
Dave from where is he?
The car.
Yeah, Dave from his car. Another gutless coward who's incapable in modern day America of communicating anything civilly. So he has to communicate like that. That's the kind of people who are out there these days. Goes from his little passive aggressive, oh, I'm not here to argue with you, to saying names at the end of the call that we have to dump, right? A maladjusted, gutless moron. Next.
Well, you can't take calls until the light is lit back up yet.
Okay. But yeah, Tomlin certainly doesn't have to, if he's the master motivator that everybody says he is, why would he have to go on into a news conference and say, see, I told you so? That's going to get all worked up in there to play better. And they actually played pretty well, by the way, for who they are against the Cleveland Browns, guys like Scotty Miller. You think Scotty Miller jumps up on his couch at home and says, see, Tomlin just said, I'm better than they think I am.
I think Scotty Miller will do that when he's watching Hard Knocks tonight.
He might. All right, can we go back to the calls?
No, not yet. I will let you know.
When can we limit?
When there's a light here on this dump button.
What do you think, Dave? What do you think Dave does with the rest of his day? Do you think he goes and visits Tony? Imagine Dave at home and how he interacts with people. Maybe Tony. Maybe he'll go to Tony's house today. It actually feels sad, a guy like Dave. Just a sad, sad man driving around out there. Poor guy.
Well, maybe Jason in Philly will be a little bit happier.
All right, Jason, what's up?
What's up, guys? First time caller.
Did you hear that whole call when we dumped the call? Do you get to hear the end of it still or no?
A little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Go ahead.
Major chaos out here in Philly. This is all just starting to break with the whole Hurts, A.J. Brown. Now Devontae Smith is being dragged into it. And I tell you what, man, I listen to WIP a lot. I listen to you guys a lot. They're afraid of us, man. I'm not joking, man. They were thinking, or they're saying, a lot of callers, and Hugh Douglas, and Ike Reese, if the Steelers have a defensive game like we're known to have, and we shut Barkley down, they're going to lose this game. That hands down, that's it.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, a lot of callers, even Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas are saying, if the Steelers have a defensive game like they're known to have, no matter what their record is out here in Philly,
yeah,
and if they shut Saquon Barkley down, it's over, it's done.
Do you believe that?
I believe that, man. I hear enough of the bull crap out here. Like, it's, you know, the whole Sirianni thing, the chaos in the locker room is all over the news. Everywhere you look, it's in the newspapers out here.
Yeah.
I think Philly's going to fall apart at the end, like they're known for. Absolutely.
I don't know. When I look, I also heard, and so did Limits, that people are calling for Kenny Pickett. I mean, are they out of their minds?
Oh, yeah, it's already started. It's already started. Is it Kenny Pickett?
That's all right. Jalen Hurts, while he's not Dan Marino, is sitting here with 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He doesn't turn the ball over almost ever. What does he have, 1 pick in the last 10 games?
Yep.
He's run for almost 500 yards and 13 touchdowns. His passer rating is 7th in the league at 102.4. I caught a little bit of their last game, the Baltimore game, I think it was. And, yeah, they don't look like they're exactly dynamic in their downfield passing game. But it's not like Jalen Hurts can't hurt you, pun intended.
Correct.
I mean, come on. He's a good starting quarterback in the league, and they're 11-2.
We need to shut the run down. We shut Barkley down. That's it. Game over.
Game over.
Game over. They can't win without Barkley. That's their secret weapon. Everybody knows it. It's everywhere. Barkley is their secret weapon. If we shut him down, it's game over, man. Game over. I think Porter's going to have a hell of a game. I think Watt's going to have a hell of a game.
What about Hurts on the ground, though? He had 60 yards and a touchdown in the last game. He had another game this year of 70 yards and a touchdown in a win. Of course, almost all their games have been wins. He can kind of hurt you on the ground, too, can he? What about the two receivers? Listen, I hear you. The last couple games, it hasn't been pretty in the pass game, but they still have weapons all over the place. Plus, Hurts can run, right?
Correct. But Hurts, they haven't faced a TJ Watt punch man yet this year.
I hear
that. They haven't faced, you know what I mean? We need a couple turnovers. We need to figure things out. I'm looking for Queen to have a big game as well. So
believe me, that would be my game plan. Let's put it that way. I'm just not positive that, you know, if he's controlled, that they still win, because don't forget the Eagles also have a really good defense.
But they're terrible in the first and second quarter. Absolutely. If Russell Wilson goes out ahead, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, if he goes out ahead, I know the Eagles are a second-half team this year, but I think it could be a really good game. I think we're going to get a victory this week.
I think it's going to be a good game, too. I think you might have a little bit of a skewed vision of the Eagles there. That's what I think about that one. I wonder what Dave thinks of that. What do you think, Limits? You think he has a vision of the Eagles here? They've only allowed 18 points a game. I mean, this guy's making him sound like simply if Barkley is shut down, the game's over. Barkley had a game of 47 yards against Cleveland, and they won anyway. He had a game of 66 yards against Dallas on 14 carries, long of 11, and they won the game 34-6. Other than that, look at his season. Holy bird milk. Well, that's why he's on pace to break the all-time record. Yeah, that would be, believe me, that's on top of the list for me. But I think you may have problems even if you do control Barkley. And their names are A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith is back. Jalen Hurts running the ball. And then you have to score, too. So the itemized list definitely starts with Barkley, but there's lots of other items on it if you're going to win the game. You know what I mean, Limits?
Yeah, but I mean, Barkley is having such a great MVP season. We all knew he was capable of having with the Giants if he was on a good team. That I feel like A.J. Brown and Hurts on the field have figured out a way to work it out where it's not affected their record. So if they slow down Barkley to like 50 yards, I give the Steelers a much better chance to win.
Oh, me too, for sure.
But I'm not counting out. Sirianni's a good play caller for as much as they want to run him out of town. They're creative. They're innovative.
I mean, his line was, if you shut down Barkley, it's over.
I don't think it's over.
I don't agree with that. They've proven they can win some ugly games, too. And they just beat Baltimore 24-19. Now, granted, you did have Tucker miss a couple field goals in that game. You're not going to get that luxury probably in this game.
Carolina was ugly, and they found a way to win.
Yeah, they do that. And by the way, it wouldn't shock anybody, I don't think, if their pass game got back on track.
Not at all.
It's not like Jalen Hurts has never thrown the ball well. He is sitting here with the 7th highest passer rating in the league.
And about $250 million in his pocket.
Battle of a couple heavyweights, at least so far this season. It's a state championship. Looking up at the screen there, Limit, Stephen A. Smith has the Eagles as the number two team in the whole league this year. Steelers number five. We have the Mike Tomlin news conference coming up at noon. According to Dum Dum Dave, maybe Mike Tomlin will use that opportunity to motivate Van Jefferson, right?
Maybe he should.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll tell him to line up on the line when they're in the red zone at the 5-yard line. Yes.
Yeah. How do you do that? Like, how did Van Jefferson do that and line up improperly?
I don't know. I don't know.
Veteran receiver like that has been around for as long as.
Like I said, according to a caller Dave from the last segment, Tomlin is motivating his backup receivers by scolding the media. Telling them, I've been telling you all season, these guys can do the job. Maybe now you'll believe me. Maybe not. Maybe I won't believe you until it's done against somebody. Well, listen, I'll believe it more. Let's put it that way. If it's done in the bigger games against better teams, because we have a couple of disclaimers from the last couple of games in who these receptions and plays are being made against.
Yes, but it was only the Browns.
The Browns is the Browns.
Exactly. So I hope Tomlin uses part of his news conference today to reward Dave for his insight.
Yes, but it was only against the Bengals.
And uses it to motivate Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, Ben Skowronek. Maybe even Cordarrelle Patterson. You think he'll use part of the news conference for that?
I hope he does, because he's running for negative yardage on occasion.
And fumbling, I might add. All right. Derek Shelton and Brian Batko will be in with me to analyze the Tomlin news conference. Ben Charrington is talking a lot at these winter meetings, but Derek Shelton took the cake, didn't he? Do we have him with MLB Network Limits?
Yeah, here's what Shelty had to say.
Are you in the suite pounding the table, ordering some quesadillas on the side and some homeless buffs? But get me two offensive players and we can really make a run at this.
Well, I don't know if there's any pounding the table, but we are talking about it, and I think your point is right. This is a division that we can win because our starting pitching is really good, and we do need to add bats. We have a pretty good core with Brian Reynolds and Neil Cruz, and you know, last year Joey Bart turned into a good offensive player, so we're in a good spot. We do need to add the way that your board showed up right there. We do need to add those things, but I feel really good about where we're at.
Could win the division.
Listen,
I actually like this, and I'd be a hypocrite if I said I didn't, because I loved it the year that Hurdle, and I asked Shelty about this once. I loved it the year that Hurdle said, we're going to win 95 games. Do you remember that, Limits? It was 2013. Yep. They'd collapsed 2 years in a row. Everybody thought that Hurdle was out of his mind. But you know what? They won 94 games. And I like that. I've been wanting to hear something like that. This fell short of a prediction, but I actually like to hear this from the manager. Now we'll see what they actually do. And it is sort of frightening when you talk about your offensive core as Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, and Joey Bart. I mean, come on.
You need more than that. You just do.
You think you need more than that?
Just a slight bit.
I mean, there's one good hitter. We'll see about Joey Bart. It's a long lifetime in Major League Baseball to prove oneself. He was really good when he came in, and credit to him. But if you're mentioning him when you're mentioning the core of your team, that ain't good. Who are some free agents that they could sign, Limits? You've put more research into this than me. I've got a couple of names. That I'm interested in. One is very unrealistic.
Is that Christian Walker?
Well, he seems more realistic. I was going to say Pete Alonso, but they're talking about him signing for $180 million somewhere.
Yeah, they're not signing Pete Alonso. Christian Walker maybe at 34 years old, but he had a WAR of almost 7 last year. He declined the qualifying offer from Arizona. He would be the best that they could get, I feel like, at first base, unless they move Brian Reynolds to first. Full time, which it doesn't seem like they want to do.
I don't care about positions. I don't care about Andrew McCutchen's, place right now. Like, if they want to bring him back, fine. But I'm not going out and saying, oh, we can't get a DH-only guy because we have McCutcheon. I'm going out to get bats. I don't care where they play. I'll move people around. Give me bats. And I'll tell you one I'm very interested in. Jock Peterson. I'm very interested in him. He only bats against lefties. I mean, he only bats against righties. He only had 42 appearances against lefties last season. He crushed people last year. I'd put him in this lineup as my cleanup hitter virtually every day. I'd even let him hit lefties. I don't care.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing.
You like that idea?
Yeah, I like him. I think Max Kepler is an interesting option. I don't want to even dabble with the Kevin Pillars, Aaron Hicks, Manuel Margot.
I'll tell you who I would dabble with. Randall Grichuk, I would. Even at 33, hit 291 last year, 875 OPS. He crushes left-handed pitching. So to get back to the other thing, if they're bringing back McCutcheon, I'm still not sure about that, much as I love him. Everybody does. You want to have him and Peterson platoon as your DH? Okay. And just have Kutch go against lefties? That's fine. Did he have reverse splits last year? I don't even know.
Pretty much, McCutcheon. Yeah. He was decent at times against lefties, but he had a pretty up and down season.
Just bring in bats. Who else is realistic? Why isn't Christian Walker realistic?
With his age, I feel like it could be because he's not going to get paid a huge amount of money at 34.
How about Profar from the Padres?
I was just about to bring him up. So he won the batting title. He's 32. He is probably going to look for a multi-year deal. There's a lot of rumors that he's going to go back to San Diego. I would be completely fine with signing him, but he's a left fielder. He also can bounce around. I would move him to right immediately, play him there with Cruz in center, Reynolds in left, sign a first baseman. Like, what would you think of Paul Goldschmidt here?
I looked at that. I did. He's coming off a bad year, but a bad year for him means he's Mickey Mantle in this lineup. You know, didn't he have 22 homers?
Yes. But his average is not nearly what it used to be. And his speed, which is a big component of his game, is now gone at 37.
Yeah, like I said, he'd be Mickey Mantle in this lineup.
I would still bring him in.
If he hit 220, he'd be their second leading hitter.
Him or Carlos Santana at first? I mean, would you consider Carlos Santana coming back?
Give me somebody who's in earlier in their career than these guys who can actually play.
There were rumors about Anthony Rizzo over the last couple days shot down.
No, please.
I do not want any bit of Anthony Rizzo.
Get somebody. No more dumpster dives. Get people who can actually play right now and pay them. That's what they need. I hope he's right about their pitching. I mean, obviously, top end, you have an unbelievable guy to lead your rotation. After that, what do you mean Profar won the batting title?
Did he not win the batting title? Or was that a year ago?
No. He hit 280.
Well, I'm thinking of something completely wrong then.
His teammate, Arias, won it. Maybe you're thinking of him limitless one day.
Yeah, I think I am. Verdugo's 29. Would you bring him in from the Yankees last year?
Tell me his numbers. I don't care what position he played, by the way. Like I already said, start collecting bats and we'll figure out the positions at spring training.
233, 13 homers, 61 RBIs last year.
Okay. So he's the MVP of this lineup again? Yes. Anybody. But no, I'm not thrilled with that. Like I said, I'd prefer somebody who's actually good and is younger than 60, you know? I mean, come on. They have to stop with this. Go out and get an actual player who's playing right now in his prime. Is that, like, undoable?
You're probably going to have to trade for somebody at that point.
Okay, then trade for somebody.
Elroy Jimenez? White Sox?
I don't care. Somebody who can hit. That's what I would do.
I would sign Austin Hayes from who spent primarily all of his career in Baltimore. He's 29. He's a left fielder.
Yeah.
Could probably bounce him over to right, power bat.
Bounce him anywhere. That includes a third baseman, by the way. If they can find a third baseman who can hit, then bring him in. I don't care what you have to do. DH him, move him over. I don't know if this guy, Hayes, is going to play. As far as I'm concerned, the Pirates need a third baseman. So go out and get one. And like I said, worry about the rest at spring training. If Ke'Bryan Hayes can make it through spring training, healthy, with the back, and looks like a good player, then figure it out from there. Just go collect. Pretend. Here's the first thing I would do. if I was Charrington here? Well, the first thing I would do is see if I have any money to spend. The second thing would be to erase all positions. I'd bring him, Shelty, whoever else in that room, and say, we no longer have positions on our team. There are none. We're going out to collect bats and bats only. If it's a catcher, if it's a third baseman, if it's a center fielder, we don't care. We'll figure all that out when we get to Bradenton. We're bringing in bats. I mean, the leading hitter on this team last year in terms of OPS, they didn't have a single guy with an 800 OPS. Do you know how embarrassing that is? We talk about Brian Reynolds like he's Mickey Mantle. He's a good player. He's a good player. He's nobody's idea of a franchise cornerstone, superstar in the middle of your lineup. He had a 791 OPS.
I remember when
with 24 homers.
The PM guys did their auction house that they do on the Pirates, and they thought everybody, I mean, Donnie's number, I think, was 807 for OPS for Brian Reynolds, and that seemed like it was a definite in the final month, and he tailed off.
He's a good player. That's it. He's a good player. Lots of teams have lots of good players. O'Neill Cruz, Shelty just mentioned him as a centerpiece, a core player. Man, I hope so. But right now, at a 773 OPS with 8 million strikeouts, you got to do better than this. And it's not one guy. And it's certainly not one dumpster dive. It's time. And if they don't take advantage of having this guy at the top of their rotation for what everybody in the baseball world knows is a limited amount of time, either by injury, because the history of the game tells us that power pitchers are often injured, or by simply leaving when it's time, which is very likely to happen, you have a very short window here. I actually like that Shelty said it. Do you?
I do too. Yeah, I like it a lot, and that should be the mentality.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I also have zero confidence that they're going to bring in bats in their prime who are good players right now, coming off good seasons. Any other qualifications for an actual guy? I don't need to see Rowdy, you know, and hope that he I don't need to see dumpster dives, flea market buys that you hope bounce back for a year. I want to see good players who are coming off good years, who are age 33 or younger, or 34. I'll even go there, limits. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Fan weather.